appreciate your prayers. I'd like to look at the 84th Psalm for a little while. This psalm is considered the Pearl of Psalms. It's considered a very beautiful psalm. I think to really understand the psalm, you need to understand probably the setting. If we could look at this psalm tonight like someone outside looking in, desiring, this is a very desirous, passionate psalm. It's like you may think of a young man that would leave home, maybe go off to war, leave his young wife, maybe young family, go into foreign lands, and what it would be like to long to see them, to miss them, to maybe be in a bad situation and maybe in a foxhole somewhere, cold and hungry and wore out in harm's way. And his mind goes back to his darling wife. And he thinks of how many days it's been since he's put his arms around her. Or maybe that little child that he loved and adored that he left. And it's been years. Don't know what she looks like anymore. He would long to hold her again. To see her. Or perhaps you could think of a young man maybe that leaves home and goes out to see what the world has. And travels around the world to try to find something. And finds over the years as they plod along that he has lost it. And he don't know what it's about anymore. And maybe he longs for something and he begins to think about what it was like as he grew up. What it was like to be with mom and dad, and maybe wonder, is dad still in good health? I wonder about mom. Does she still sing like she used to? Oh, mom used to cook wonderful meals. I wish I could just sit down again and experience what I experienced one time. Now I'm halfway around the world and I've spent my life and I've burned up and I wish it different. I long for something, you see. I think if we could look at this psalm for a little bit, maybe we could, if you would allow your minds to go there as somebody that passionately longed, desired something. I think it would help us to understand this very beautiful psalm. It starts out by saying, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts." Amiable means worthy of love. Lovely. It means beloved. It means deserving of affection. It's how wonderful. How beautiful. How worthy of love you are, Lord. How worthy of love are the tabernacles? The tabernacles was the place that you may say there was one tabernacle, but this is in the sense of all the places of the tabernacle that the Lord dwelled in and worked in. The courts, the outer part, the inner part, all of those places. The psalmist, it's not said, but it's assumed it's very David-like. It was much like David, a man that was chased away, who was in exile, who had went away from the things, and he was in exile, and how he had experienced the hand of God and the wonderful things of the tabernacle and the wonderful things of that. And he longed to see it again, longed to experience it, wanted to feel what he had felt before, and wanted to be close to the Lord and those kind of things. And the writer says, how amiable. I've seen a lot of the world. Folks, listen. I'm a young man that went off in sin. I never knew the things of the Lord. I never had the opportunity to know the things of the Lord. So I done what young men do. I tried to fulfill myself in life. And I had all kind of ways that I thought would do it. But at a very young age, I started running out of those things. I started realizing they're not doing anything for me. They're not helping me any. I'm not satisfied with life. I'm not satisfied with my relationships. I'm not satisfied with the things that I'm doing. And I need something. I'm wanting something. I'm longing for something. So I can tell you tonight from experience of everything that I ever tried. Of all, every high that I wanted to get on. Or every drunk. Or every thing that I tried. And it left me empty. It left me hollow. I didn't have anything in it. And then I found the Lord. I find that the Lord is amiable. I find the things of the Lord is amiable. I find a camp meeting like this amiable. I find it very, very worth doing. I find the tabernacles of the Lord very desirous. I find every avenue that we do as we worship the Lord. Did you get a blessing tonight out of the singing? That's one of the tabernacles. It's worthy of doing. It's really worthy of doing. And folks, if you're going to do anything, you ought to do it all. Put it all into it. This is something of much desire and passion. Oh, how amiable are the tabernacles, oh Lord. It's worthy of these things. Have you ever, folks, have you ever been in a place of prayer where everything around you fell down? Well, it didn't really, maybe, but you felt like it did. You ever feel like the world crumbled? Have you ever felt like that the people that you thought was close didn't seem to be close anymore? The ones that you thought don't admire anymore. You ever been in a place that you didn't know what to do or where, and you went to the Lord and you found great comfort? You found a great blessing there. You found it worthy, very worthy of being loved. This is a precious place. This is another tabernacle. This place that the Lord has so freely given us that we can go and pray to the Lord and find strength and courage to be able to fight our battles with. It's prosperous. It's valuable. And here is one that's from the outside now looking in and remembering and longing. I used to know that. Could you imagine being banished from these grounds? And maybe you're off down there just around the corner. But you can hear the singing. And with the idea that I once sat real close. Or maybe you hear the spatial singing go on and you remember back. I know what it was like to stand right here. And maybe raise your hand and say, me too. Me too. I value these things. I see them. I call them amiable. I call them worthy of giving my life to. Tried a lot of things in my life. They all failed. They all failed. But this has never failed me. It's never failed to do what it claims to do. It's been inspiring and encouraging. And when I run out, it feels back in. It's amiable. The tabernacles. Oh, there's tabernacles of the Lord. You know, there's a lot of places that the Lord is willing as we desire to worship Him. We have these, if you say public gatherings, and the Lord is pleased with these. It's a tabernacle to us. It's a place that we worship the Lord. He does it in the singing. Do you know that you don't have to have this many people together for it to be good? This makes it really good. But it doesn't have to be this many people. Some of my most precious times has been me and the Lord. And it is a very precious tabernacle to me. A place that God dwells and is willing to dwell. And in my life, I run into a time, one time, to where I had come to my wit's end. And I told the Lord so on a dark night when everything seemed to be going wrong. And I didn't know what the future would hold for me in my life. And it had come down. All the nerves was frayed at the ends. They was all fragile. I was fragile. I was a fragile person about to feel like I was to be destroyed. And I stood one time with looking up and said to the Lord, Lord, I have no more prayers. I don't have anything else to say, but I'm at my wit's end. I'm at my wit's end. I don't know what else to do. Lord, help me, was my prayer. From the depths of my heart, I said, Lord, I'm at the end of the rope, wit's end. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. And heaven opened up. And the Lord flooded down. Just me and the Lord. A tabernacle of the Lord. It's amiable tonight. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's worthy of love. It's worthy of adoration. It's my beloved. It's like the beloved of a wife. This writer was saying it in that sense. It's almost personalized. It's like a wife that I haven't seen in a long time. Or a child that was so dear that I haven't been in contact. And a longing to do it. I long for it, this writer says. I want to be inside it. I'm outside of it looking in. Tonight, if you're outside, you don't have to be outside looking in. There's a place for you. The Lord wants you to come and be a part of it. To realize it again. It's the beauty of the gospel message. There is a place for every one of us. You don't have to be on the outside. If the old devil's taken advantage of you, if he's disturbed your mind with something, if he's made it not look like it's valuable, I want to tell you tonight, the Lord has something for you tonight. A way, a path home, a way home, a way back into that place that the Lord wants you to be in. Oh, I think of the old prodigal who so freely got his possession, what he had coming. And he left with all of the ideas of youth. All of the things that wonderments, no doubt. And went and left and said, you know, I'm gonna find life for myself. I'm gonna find that the excitement of life, and it's gonna be, no doubt, nobody thinks that they're going to be destroyed, or the destruction's going to come, or they're going to fall on their face. They all believe and have daydreams of wonderful things, and maybe of great wealth and of great prestige and of getting things and being happy and fulfilled in all of their lives, and live happily ever after. But that's not reality. So he leaves and he goes out and he finds the cruelness of life. He finds the loneliness of life and loneliness of the world, and the reality of the world sets in. And I think there come a time that there was a longing. I remember what Daddy's house was like. I remember what the bread tasted like. I remember the smell of it baking in. You know, there's some of those things that touch very close to us. I remember the sin of it. I remember the setting of it all. He was somebody that was outside looking back in. And seeing more now, folks, this is the beauty of the gospel message, is that there's a way back. There's a way back into the fold. There's a way back. No matter what you've done, the Lord said that He would give beauty for ashes. He'll give something wonderful and beautiful. You know, you can go out and lose the respect and dignity and honor, and the Lord will trade you that junk and give you back honor and beauty and give you back something worthwhile, and He'll give you back nobility, and He'll give you back something that will make you functional with other people, and He can work in your lives that way. What a beautiful psalm this is. Oh, how amiable are the tabernacles. Oh, Lord of hosts. And why? Lord of hosts. Jehovah of many. The greater. Why did he say it that way? Because there is a link here to the Almighty God and these tabernacles. That's why. We just didn't happen. There is an almighty creating God, and He's a God of hosts. He's the God of all, a great host of angels and of heaven. And this mighty God has established His tabernacles. Amen. He's established a way of worship. He's established a people. He's established a plan of salvation for you and I to come to. And if you're out there looking at God has established this, it wasn't by the will of man. It wasn't by the hands of man. It isn't because we wanted to do this. It isn't just that we think this is a good thing. This is willed by the eternal God and the God of hosts for you and I.
Amen.
My soul longeth. Oh, if I could just taste it again. If I could just feel the presence of the Lord in my life again. The 51st Psalm written from David about his transgression and his longing, Lord, create in me a clean spirit. Restore in me the right spirit. Lord, he longed. Lord, help me to taste it again. Help me to touch it again. Help me to be there again. Oh, he said, I long. What passion. What passion. I long. Folks, people have passions tonight for all kind of things. Great passions. Passions that put us to shame.
That's right.
People have great passions towards the events of this world. People will do all kind of things to fulfill their passions in sports world, music world, entertainment world. They do all kind of things to fulfill their passion for fishing and hunting. Many of these things, nothing wrong with, but they have a great passion for these things, and they'll go to the furthest extents, pay all their money to do it, travel all kind of miles to do it, do all kind of things for it. But the writer here is saying, I'm longing for your tabernacles. That's one that's outside, that knew, and yet looking in. Oh, how I would like to be back where I once was. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for thy courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. What longing, what passion. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and to swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. What this is referring to, and I understand this quite well, because, and probably everybody in a setting like this, a little later, we'll see this from time to time, there's these little sparrows and these little birds that are very comfortable around people. I have little buildings around my house, my porch, and different places. And these little birds aren't shy. They'll fly right by you. They make their nests in my structures. And it's well that they do, because a storm like we got here the other day, many bird nests are destroyed and youngs are destroyed in that. The rain and wind will sweep them out of their nests many times. I've seen it happen a lot. But it don't do it in my buildings. They'll find them a real good place that they can get in and out. And they find great security in there. It's a real good place to have young. And what this is referring to, the writer looks at this and says, I'd like to be like one of them if I could. If that's all I could do. I would like to be like a sparrow that come around the outer habitations and build a nest. And the security, I want to say this. What more secure place could a bird build a nest than in the corner of one of the Lord's houses? There's no storm going to wipe it out of there. There's no fire going to destroy it. What better place for a bird to build a nest and raise his young than in a place where the Lord's at? This is what the writer's getting a hold of. What a place to be. And even these sparrows are finding great blessings to be able to come in there and get such a place of life like that. I'd long to be able to just set out on the outer places and find my security there. Be able to hear the singing as it goes forth. To be able to hear the word as it goes forth. To be able to be a part of prayer. Well, the birds don't do those kind of things, and yet they're blessed by being close and having that kind of security. Folks, what is our deepest desire and passion? What do we want for the next generation to have? What do we want the end of life to be for us and for them? Don't we long for our children and grandchildren to have this opportunity to be able to experience the tabernacles of the Lord? These birds come in and build in the safest place on earth, right close to God. My burden tonight is that we would represent the Lord, that we would love the tabernacles of the Lord, that we would have them available, and that those that have been looking from the outside, looking in, would come on in. Would just come on in. I've told several this story, but about 2 weeks ago, I was here. And I was down just across the street there throwing some horseshoes. And I looked up the valley there, and there was a woman come down through there. And she was kind of staggering. And she come down. She had a dog with her. She came down there. And the dog was over in the little stream there playing. And the dog saw me pitch a horseshoe, and so he come running after my horseshoe, and that kind of got her over there. And I asked her how she was doing. And she pulls her sleeves up, just like this. And she was horribly bruised. Her old arm area up in there was terribly deep. It wasn't surface bruising, it was deep bruises on her. I noticed that she had been abused quite extensively. How do you think I'm doing? Anyway, she ends up saying, I used to pitch horseshoes. Can I pitch a horseshoe? Well, I was a little bit uneasy. I'll be honest with you. She was under the influence, and it was just me and her. And I was under the influence, or she was under that influence, and I was backing off. Be honest with you, I was even looking around, thinking, where's he going to come from? I hadn't had a good week of people, so things was happening. And I said, well, okay, you pitch one shoe, and then I'm going to have to go. So she tried, and she didn't do it. She went a couple feet. And anyway, I said, well, I need to go. And she said, got a minute? I said, what do you need? And she said, I need to talk. You got a minute? Come over here and talk to me. And I said, no, I don't think I can do that. And she was very pitiful. She said, you're with the camp people, aren't you? And I said, that got me. I said, yeah, I'm with the camp people. She said, I like to sneak down here and listen. And you know what really got me? She said, I especially like the preaching. You know, people listen to singing, but they don't always. She said, I especially like the preaching. I said, well, have you ever come up? She said, I've never been invited. I said, well, you've been invited now. I said, come on up. You don't have to listen you don't have to be somebody outside looking in. It's not exclusive. It's for everybody. It's amiable. I'm telling you, there's nothing on earth even comes close. I said, you're invited now. Come on. Come on up when we start. Come on. She says, you got a minute? No, ma'am. She goes over and sits down and starts patting the log saying, "Sit with me. Give me a minute." And I said, "No." I said, "If my wife was here with me, we could stay. But she's not. And I can't. It'd be a bad circumstance, ma'am. But I want to tell you something before I go." I said, "God's for everybody." Amen. I said, You don't have to live like you're living. You don't have to be a drunk. You don't have to be living in abuse. You don't have to be living like that. God has something for you. I know He had something for me. I know where you're at, man. You don't have to have it. You don't have to be an outsider looking through a glass, looking in. You don't have to be somebody that listens off to the distance. You don't have to be somebody. You can be in there. There was another one time in the scriptures. That was about the end of it. She puckered her lip and I said goodbye. But I said, "Ma'am, in 2 weeks, there's going to be a meeting starting up here. Come. Come, it's all I can give you. Come. Lord can help you." There was a man in the scriptures that came to the Lord by night. He came because he was a man of standings. He was a man that was on the outside looking in. He saw something in there. Do you know he was honest? Now that was an honest man. You'll find that over in the 3rd chapter of John. Now that was an honest man in his heart. He didn't know how to deal with it. But he knew something. He knew that there was something amiable. There's something valuable and worthwhile here. And he was off looking in because he was going to have a real conflict in his life. Devil likes to make conflicts in your life, folks. He'll build up a lot of conflicts and you're saying here tonight, "I know it's amiable. I know I should live for the Lord. I want to go to heaven. I want the good things of God." Oh, the richness of being able to have the God with you. To be able to understand the Lord's with you. How the valuable of the Spirit of the Lord with you. Oh, I'm telling you, it's valuable. I am so thankful for the God that's willing to be with us all the time. Amen. The God that when I get in trouble, He helps me. I've been in wrecks before and been just all I could say was, "God, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me," and the Lord helped me. Oh, I'm telling you, the Lord is willing to be there for us. But this man, he couldn't see his way through, hardly, but he snuck and he come to the Lord. And he says to him, "We know that thou art from God." Well, why didn't everybody say that? Why didn't everybody say it? They weren't honest. They didn't really see it. But he did. "We know thou come. No man can do these miracles." You know, God, the Lord was willing to take time with him. Talk to him. Go through details with him. And say things to him. And he's there saying, "How can it be? How can this be?" But you know what? The man established something, folks, and I would that all of us would establish something tonight. You know why Nicodemus did what he did? Because he acknowledged to the Lord, "Thou art of God." Yeah. You know, he couldn't back up on anything that the Lord said after that. Right. He couldn't gainsay it. All he could say is, "How can it be? Explain it to me. I've already acknowledged that you're God's with you." He was willing to step over into it. There was his start, folks, of coming in. Lord, for us to be able to be willing tonight to say, honestly, "I've got a need. And God's my answer. I've got a need. And Lord, all that I ever tried to do didn't fix it. I tried to work it out myself. I tried to make it come around. I can't fix it. Lord, you're my answer." You know, that's a good step. And the Lord told him, "You must be born again." Yeah. And how can a man be born again? How can I understand something like this? And the Lord was saying to him, "How can you be a master in Israel and not know it?" Right. You know, do you know Nicodemus's end was a good one? Nicodemus, I believe. There's enough evidence to say Nicodemus was the one that went and got the Lord's body. Him and another man. I'm going to tell you, I believe there was a time that the Lord looking at him and saying, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I believe those were, you know, we say that that is the one of the most impressive, if not the most recognized scripture in the Bible. He was looking into Nicodemus' eyes when he said it. How could the power and authority of the Lord not touch his life right there? A man that was outside looking in. A man that was steeped in religion, steeped in ideas, steeped in traditions, steeped in all these things. And yet this was something that was amiable, beautiful, lovely. It was worth something. And he reached out for it. I'm going to tell you, at some point in his life, he was willing to say, I don't. The reason I know it is somebody wrote it down, so it was evident. It was wrote down, and the whole world knew it. Who was it, Dougie's butt? It was Nicodemus. I imagine there was a lot of people saying, what did you do that for? Because it was the Son of God. And he was amiable. He was beautiful. And all my life I've longed for God. I've wanted God in my life. I want my children. I don't want them to be on the outside looking in. I don't want the generations that follows us to lose that. The decisions that we make in life affects everything around us. We see it all the time. The decisions, folks, you young people here that's got young families, everything you do is going to affect their lives. The seriousness that they give the Lord will most positively be dictated by how you do it. Amen. What kind of seriousness you have, how you see it, how you will most definitely affect them. What's the end going to be of your dear children? These sparrows make nest. Why? Not to be comfortable. Why did they make nest? They lay eggs in them. They find the best place they can, the most secure from. I'm just imagining this, but I imagine that the folks would tolerate. We do. We tolerate the sparrows coming around and building that. I don't tear sparrows' nests out. I'll go even around them to make sure that they have their little young fly off. I like to see them there. And I don't tolerate snakes in my yard that would destroy sparrows. Not just because I'm thinking about sparrows. I just don't like snakes in the yard like that. So if a big snake come by, he'd be in trouble. And so it would be there. It's a nice safe place and secure place. And so it is if the birds can find a place like that. Is it the best place to raise a family and children? Is it an amiable? Is it the best thing that we can have to raise our children in the admonition of the Lord? Listen, folks, we're living in a very tough time. And the influences and the things that are going to touch our children and have an effect on our children and what's going to destroy our children and set the mindset of our children is very forceful. I say us build our nest around the tabernacles of the Lord. Let's let our children, as they hatch, let them hear the songs of Zion. Let it be ingrained. I'm going to embarrass my children, but I want to tell you, Daddy would be in some kind of serious trouble if he didn't come to Monarch. I'd have some rebellion going on with my children if they didn't. They want to come, and you know what? I've always said, that's what I want them to do. If I want them to long for the people of God, they have friends, they have holy things around them, they're secure, they don't have to worry, they have all the security many times at home, a lot of times in a dark winter night, I'm sitting around, the fire's going in my fireplace. The children are around, and I say, thank you, Lord, for this habitation. Thank you, Lord, for all of the children that are out there that are abused, that aren't loved, that all kind of bad things are happening to. Thank you, Lord, that you was willing to save me. Thank you, Lord, that you was willing to give us this life, and I long for it. I find it amiable. I love the ways of the Lord. I love the security that He gives me in my life. I love the idea that I'll grab my children and sometimes I'll tell my wife, I'm so glad they can be loved. We love them and do for them and rather them in. And the world is so warped, folks. They don't even understand what it is. We got something precious. Build your nest, folks. You know what I'm talking about. Build it. Build your nest around the tabernacles of the Lord. Build it around prayer. Build it around singing. Build it around faithfulness. Build it around going to service in your local congregation. Set it in their hearts that this is worthwhile. And you say, well, it ain't worthwhile all the time. Yes, it is always worthwhile. You can make it worthwhile. If you do nothing more than open the doors and go in and sing a song and get down in prayer and show your children that it's amiable, it's beautiful, it's better than anything the world has. Because it is. It's beautiful. I remember a story. The story of a woman. She was up in North, like in Michigan somewhere, and she had some children. And this woman gets with this man, runs off and leaves her children there with her mother and runs off to have a good time. Goes off to Florida somewhere and gets in trouble and she gets murdered. And they didn't find her for a long time, but the interview was, and they interviewed the woman that was taking care of the children, this woman's mother, and she said, I know something dreadful happened to her because she loved these children so much that she would never have just stayed away. And I'm sitting there going, huh? You get with just some guy and leave your children, run off across the country, have a good time, and you really love your children? Folks, the world's warped. It's a warped world. They say love. They say love in some of the strangest terms. That's not love. Love is sacrifice. Love isn't always just gushy feelings. It's deep-seated desires for them to have the best. To be taken care of. To whatever's the best. Yeah, we'll put the hand to our children sometime. It's not popular in the world to do it. But yeah, we'll do it. We'll keep them from being run over. We'll keep them from starting bad habits. We'll do it because we love them. That's why we do it. Because we love them. So much stuff out there in the world that's not amiable. It's not beautiful. Amen. And it's being promoted and promoted. Right. Oh, Lord, help us. Amen. Folks, don't stay tonight on the outside looking in. It's more than just coming here, too. Yeah. It's part. I mean, listen, it's beautiful to hear the singing. It's such a peaceful place. But that's not where it's got to be. There's a place inside that the Lord wants us to understand how amiable He is. Oh, the writer said, I long for the Lord, for the living God. I long for His presence. I long for His Spirit. I long for all that He is and does. O Lord of hosts, my King. King's got to have a kingdom. Two things a king needs to be a king. He's got to have a kingdom. He's got to have subjects. That's what we are. When I acknowledge, Lord, you're King of my life, I want to be subject. I find it amiable. I find it beautiful. I find it the best thing to do in my life. Another scripture I wanted to touch on was in Hebrews. Go along with this. 6th verse of 11th chapter says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark. Why did he do it? Prepared an ark. The Lord came and warned him and said there was going to be a great flood and he was going to destroy the earth, the world, because of the wickedness. And Noah believed him. You know, that's what that means. The Lord came and told Noah that and he believed him. Simple as that. And then what did he do? He said, if that's true, and I believe it is, then if I don't do something, my family's going to perish. I'm going to warn you tonight. If you don't do something, your family's going to perish. If you don't do something, what your children going to do? He built an ark. And the reason he built the ark, it states it, to the saving of his house. Yeah, he was being faithful. Sure he was. He feared. He believed. But he built the house to save. He built the ark to save his family. That's why he done it. The Lord warned him and he said, I'm going to save my family. I'm going to do what the Lord said because I'm going to save my family. What is the end of it going to be? How often have we seen those move away from the Lord? Move away from the Lord. And we've seen them looking. We've seen them longing to see back in. And all at the same time, we've seen the devastation. Yeah. Don't allow the flood of this world to destroy you. Yeah. Don't allow these things to happen. Because folks, here's an unfortunate reality. You may say in your heart tonight, I want to be saved before I die. You don't know that you always think that way. You'll say, I want to be saved before. But you know what will happen as years roll on? You think you can dictate those kind of things. You can't. And there'll come a time that you'll have no feelings about being saved. You'll have no desire left to want to have spiritual things in your life. Yeah, now, where there's some tenderness, you may say, not now because of the way my life is, but one day I want to be saved. One day I want the amiable things. I know the things in my life aren't amiable. I know the ways of this world aren't amiable. I know the things that I watch are corrupting. I know the things that I'm listening to is defiling. I can hear the words of them. I can feel the spirit of them. I know they ain't. But you know, there's no way that you can say as time goes on, I'm going to feel the way I feel. I asked the Lord one time, I pondered it as I looked at people that went away from the Lord and as I pondered people that knew and got old and now they're up and death is just around the corner a few days off and they have no desire to be saved. I've questioned the Lord and said, Lord, why? The Lord's answer was, they can't feel anymore. There's nothing that you can say to make them feel the pull of the Spirit anymore. There's nothing there to draw or to bring the consciousness of it. We desire, Lord, help us that we will always have a tender conscience towards God. You know, it doesn't feel good to have guilt. But I'm sure glad I can still feel it. Aren't you? Isn't it a blessing to be checked? Aren't you glad that there's nothing, just like, oh, nothing matters? But I'm glad that it's sensitive enough to feel the things. I want to be like the sparrows. And I'll build my nest. Around the tabernacles of the Lord. Around the good things of God. That my children have the best chance possible. That they'll hear. There's no guarantee that they'll be saved. Everybody's got a
will? A choice to make in life? Boy, it's a lot better to raise them in the admonition of the Lord and allow the sensitiveness and the things of the Lord to protect. I believe the Lord honors our prayers. I believe the Lord has places that He's not willing to allow the old serpent into. I know there's a place that the vulture's eye can't see into. There's a place in God that the devil can't go. There is a closet and a place before the Lord that the devil can't get into. There is a protection to God's people. Thank God for it. There's a place that our children are protected by under an umbrella of God's love and His faithfulness to His people. Thank God for that. Lord, help us tonight. Says by faith, Noah being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is of faith. Noah condemned the world in one simple way. If one man can do it, all men can do it. If one man was faithful in a time where the imaginations of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. If there had been no man that had been there, but there was one, and if there can be one, if Noah can do it, you can do it. If Noah can do it, the whole world can do it. So by faith, he condemned the world. He saved his house, and all of them could have. And they condemned. Over in Jeremiah 29th chapter, familiar verse, 11th verse of the 29th chapter, says, the Lord speaking, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord." What do you think tonight that the Lord's thinking of you? If you're on the outside looking in, the Lord's thoughts is, why don't you come in? I've got so much for you. I've got so much for you. Right here in this evil time, I've got so much for you. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. That's not our Lord. To give you an expected end. You know you have an expected end of the Lord. What do you want your end to be? Like for my end to be said like he did of old. Old and full of years. Ready to go. Just faithful. Want to be faithful. I like my end to be as Paul's was. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. While back at home, come back after a trip. It was something. Got home and stood up in Wednesday night prayer meeting and told him, said, I'd love to be able to testify you of great victories, but I ain't going to. I feel bloody, muddy, dirty, and bruised, but I'm still saved. I feel like I've been wooed, fought, and I'm still saved. Amen. You know, the Lord's got it expected in. For every one of us. Yeah, I like to testify to the highest all the time. But I sometimes testify to just the realities. It gets pretty bloody sometimes. Fight hard. But I'm still saved. I still see the amiable things. I still want the things of the Lord. The Lord has an expected end. Folks, if you're not on an expected road, you can't expect to get the expected end. You got to be on the trail that goes there or you never get there. Sometimes you get on the wrong, it doesn't work. Driving one time, it was when we went, and Lord help us, we ain't been there since, so y'all forgive us, but we was going to Miami 15 years ago to meet him. And I called Brother Carl and said, Brother Carl, we'll leave at a certain time, I ought to be at your house at 5. Brother Carl says, good, you can have supper with us. And I'm going down the road and I got a tape in there and I'm listening. And there's a place where 77 South is 81 North. And if you don't watch just which one's which, I veered over to the left. And when I come by, I didn't even notice. And I'm going along and I'm on 81 North, not 77 South. All right? Driving along and I see this sign that says Roanoke. And I say in my mind, Roanoke, North Carolina? I didn't know there was one. Only one I knew was is north of here in Virginia. Driving on and then another sign says Roanoke. Getting closer. 2 hours, folks, later, I'm up in Roanoke, Virginia. I don't know if there is a North Carolina one, but there was. And I'm up there, and I was real thankful because Brother Leslie's tape was preaching about this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. I needed some grace. I needed some help. Because 2 hours the wrong way, you're going the wrong way, you're not going to get there. You understand? You can't get there that way. You got to be on the right way to get the expected end. Lord has an expected end for you tonight. He wants the good things in your life. He really does. And they're there and they're available. And they're so much worth it. And many times the old devil lies to you and think you got to give up some precious things. No, you don't. You give up, burn up, no good things. And you'll know that you can give them up once you do it, but you can't give them up without grace. You can't live for the Lord without His help. But when you get His help, you can do it easily and with victory. Well, anyway, in that story, I didn't get there till 9, evidently, because I had to go. I went 2 hours, and I had to come back 2 hours. I was going the wrong way. But the Lord has an expected end. You know, folks, what's our end going to be? Who can say? But the saints ought to be able to say, I know what my end is if I'm faithful. I know the Lord's got a crown of life laid up for me. I know that no matter what happens to me in life, God's going to be with me. He's already proven that to me. And He's going to be with me. I need to be on the right way. I need to be on the right way for the expected end. The Lord has an expected end for every one of us tonight. There's going to be a time. The scripture talks about, it says that life's like a tale that's told. It doesn't last very long. It's like a shuttle of a weaver. It just goes so fast, and my life's running fast too. And it ends up like a tale that's told. It won't be long till somebody will be telling your tale. Because you'll be gone and won't be living it anymore. And the tale will be told. And there's going to be an end to it. Every story ends the end. And all of our stories are going to end that way tonight. And I just want to encourage you. Don't be somebody on the outside looking in tonight. Come to the Lord. And get what God has for you. And live your life. And young people, raise your families right around the tabernacles. Because they are amiable, beautiful, lovely. It's the beloved. You pray for me.